Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
It's Anton time, folks. That should sound better. Hey, it's Anton time! Anton, are you alive and well?
I'm locked in my house, but there's worse places to be. How are you?
Locked in your house? I'm very well indeed. Absolutely
like
brilliant.
Being out in the world?
It's fantastic. Yeah, God, yeah. You should try it sometime.
Yeah, thanks.
And maybe you will in a week or two. Okay, what's going on, Anton, news-wise this week that we may or may not have missed?
Major news, Dave.
Major news. Good. Like what?
There's something leaking out of Uranus.
Oh my God. You're so childish every week. You're getting more childish. You know, the quote
I
Bob Dylan.
I haven't been around grown adults in a long time.
Right.
Like.
No, okay, fair enough. So go on. What's happening here?
Scientists have discovered that there is something leaking out of Uranus.
Yeah.
They looked back at footage and data taken by Voyager 2. Do you remember Voyager 2? It led to, I think, the Wrath of Khan, where it was V'ger.
Keep going.
Oh, come on, Dave. Remember wasn't there was a Star Trek movie where there was the god that they were pursuing was V'ger, and it turned out to be the Voyager 2 probe, which had made
You know, it's really weird. If you asked me about Star Trek movies, I'd say the only one I probably know is the Wrath of Khan. I haven't a clue what you're talking about.
God damn it. Never mind. Anyway, Voyager 2 was this probe what was sent up in the 80s. They shot it out of the solar system. I think it's still heading, I'm going to say, west. But when it passed Uranus, it as you would, took some data, and they've been reviewing the data. And
oh,
what they discovered,
yeah, that's the movie, isn't it? The farthest in terms of maybe I'm wrong
exactly.
about that. Yeah, right. Okay, the farthest in terms of like the man-made. There's two of them, and they're still going, and they've gone further in the universe than anything else made by man, and it's still sending back some kind of signals. And passed by Uranus, and then what happened when it did?
Well, when it passed by Uranus, it took data. And what they discovered, Dave, is that Uranus released a giant gas plasmoid.
Right, which is what, Anton?
You know, it's like a, I don't know. But it's a thing, anyway, that got released from a planet and it tore some of the atmosphere with it. And there is now a hypothesis that says that this is how Mars became devoid of atmosphere through as we get into the science, it gets less fun, Dave. The headline was kind of the whole be all and end all.
Of course
stuff.
It was. That word it's the word that keeps on giving so many years later for stand-up comedians and everybody else besides, and little children in schoolyards. Speaking of which, Anton,
did you ever have a mnemonic to remember the planets?
No, I didn't actually, but I'm sure you're going to give me one now, yeah. Go on,
well,
I
have a very annoying one, because do you remember they got rid of Pluto?
I should, shouldn't I?
Yeah, Pluto got downgraded from planet to, I think, very large asteroid.
Okay.
And the mnemonic that I had to remember it was, my very easy method just sums up nine planets, which gives you Mars, Venus, Earth, Mercury, and so on all the way through.
Right.
But now it goes, my very easy method just sums up nine. The single most important bit.
Yeah. Do you remember the Moody Blues had an album called Every Good Boy Deserves Favour? No?
Did they?
Yeah, that's all the kind of chords. E, G, B, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, D, F, yeah, whatever.
And is there Every Green Bus Drives Fast?
Oh, God almighty. What was it? The lazy something jumped over the lazy dog or whatever it was. Every letter of the alphabet or something.
How did we get here from your
From mnemonics. I don't know. Go on.
In other news, a French athlete has run a marathon on their balcony.
Yeah, I saw something about that, all right. Yeah, a French athlete. He must have a very big balcony. There's a lot of turning around going on, yeah? Did he hit the wall?
I think he must have hit the wall, let me get the maths right, 1,500 times. Because
yeah.
The balcony was only 23 feet long. So to do it, he had to do laps, which means he did something to the order of 3,000 laps around the balcony. It took him 6 hours and 4 minutes to do it. Imagine, whatever about running a marathon, imagine doing marathon distance on a 23-foot balcony. You'd be like...
You know, Eddie Izzard ran 27 marathons in 27 days or something. Do you remember that? No?
He's an unusual man, Eddie Izzard.
He is, isn't he? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He also did his entire act in French.
Yeah, really. Yeah, he's a fascinating guy. I once had, actually, believe me, this sounds really rare. I had lunch with Eddie once. And I must say, I wasn't a major Eddie expert. I was interviewing him for the Dublin Film Festival. And Gráinne Humphreys, myself, and himself, somewhere in the middle of Temple Bar. Very interesting guy. He really is, you know.
Is he personable one to one?
Oh, God,
is he,
yeah.
Is he?
Oh, he was great. Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest, it was, I'm not going to say it was wasted on me, but considering the amount of people who consider him to be really one of the greatest, I didn't know as much about him as I probably should have, but he was great. I found out a lot.
I find you can have a very enjoyable lunch with people who are nice, even if you don't previously think them to be legends.
God, yeah, absolutely, of course. Not that I do have lunch with people many times.
Who come on. I bet your lunch list is very impressive.
Do you know, funny thing is that, do you know what they have in Wales? They have this thing, a marathon of a man versus a horse. Seriously. I mean, there's the person on the horse, yeah. And, like, you have to run the marathon and beat the horse.
On a marathon distance?
Well, no, I think it's about 18 or so. It's around where the wall starts for marathon people. It stops around there. But 18 miles or 18, whatever it is, yeah.
That's amazing, because given what little that I know about man racing horse history, apparently the trick is to do it over a very short distance. I'm not making this up. Over a short distance, horses don't accelerate as well as people.
Right.
So like a 50-yard dash.
Right,
yeah,
but they could stay the pace is what you're saying.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's what's amazing. Over 18 miles, I'm amazed that somebody can keep up with it. And in what must be one of the smoothest segues ever to travel over Skype, have you heard that Britney Spears has set a new 100-meter dash world record?
Britney Spears has set a 100-meter dash world record. No, I haven't heard. I saw her in the paper this morning, actually. She was wishing, it was actually a headline piece of news. She wished Mariah Carey happy birthday this morning, or maybe yesterday. That's big news.
What age is Mariah?
I have no idea. I didn't read it down any further, but all I know is she wished her a happy birthday because there was some album that Mariah released that she absolutely loved or something along those lines. And Mariah got back to her, which is really more big
news.
Did
she? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Mariah, I believe, has a three octave C, doesn't she?
She has a mother from Cork. I know that. A three octave C. She's seeing a doctor about that. Okay, hold on a second. Let's just get back to this.
No. Is the mother from Cork true or a joke?
No, it's true.
She does not have a mother from Cork.
Well, I mean, like, look at the surname for starters. You know, it's not exactly not Irish. Yeah, I think. Okay, hold on. Ed, check that up, will you? Is Mariah Carey's mother from Cork? Maybe it's her grandmother. I'm not sure which. No, I think it's her mother. I don't know. Anyway, go on. Tell me about. Who are you talking about? Taylor Swift? No, Britney Spears.
Britney. Oh, don't get me started on Taylor Swift and the whole look.
I won't. That would be a digression, and I'm not looking for that. Okay, tell me about Britney.
Britney has announced on her Instagram that she has been running a lot lately.
I should have said hit me, Anton, one more time, but I won't. Go on.
God damn.
God, yeah.
She has been running a lot lately, what with having to stay at home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Has been getting her 100-yard dash, or 100-meter dash, as it now is in new money, faster and faster and faster. And she has now posted on Instagram a thing saying, ran my first five, as in my first five-second 100-meter dash. She said, getting over your fear of pushing it in the beginning is the key. Once I did that, I hit five. Usually I run six or seven. My first try was nine, and now I did it, whoop, 100-meter dash. Now, to put that in perspective for people listening in black and white, the all out fastest any human has ever gone is 100 meters in 9.58 seconds, which is Usain Bolt. And the fastest a woman has ever gone was Flojo, Florence Griffith Joyner, back in 88 at 10.49 seconds. So Brittany's fairly hosing it in the 100 meter dash.
Yeah, she obviously made a mistake.
I wonder.
Do you think she's lying?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know. There's a lot of detail there, like the fact that she talked about having done it in a nine, then a seven, then a six. It doesn't seem like a typo. But anyway, more power to her, and sure, isn't she happy?
Right, indeed. Flojo had a sad life, didn't she, really? I mean, she died very young. Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. The only thing I know about Flojo, other than her world record, is her appearance, and that's her Mix-a-Lot lyric.
Really? Oh, I don't remember that.
Don't tell me you weren't a big Sir Mix-a-Lot fan, Dave.
I wasn't, I have to admit. I know, yeah, terrible.
He has a line in his seminal I Like Big Butts, brackets and I Cannot Lie, which is, I'll keep my women like Flojo.
Right, okay.
It got sampled subsequently for Anaconda by Nicki Minaj.
Come off it. Okay, let's move on to something not to do with racing or running, or do you have anything that not to do
Pablo
with racing?
Pablo Escobar and his hippos.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Pablo Escobar's hippos?
We didn't talk about this before, did we? No, maybe not.
No, we did. We touched off this a little.
Pablo Escobar, I thought so.
Once planet's richest man, had so much money that literally his biggest problem was it decomposing when he buried it because he just couldn't find ways to launder it or spend it in time. One of the ways he spent it was on hippos, and he had effectively a sort of he turned his ranch into a quasi zoo. When he met his, I was going to say untimely, but it was actually pretty timely end, there was nobody to care for the hippos, and they went feral. So there has been something of a problem in Colombia with generations of ex-Pablo Escobar hippos flumping around the jungle and generally killing people, which is what they tend to do. However, what they have subsequently discovered is that they have rebuilt an almost prehistoric environment around themselves. Scientists are saying that, contrary to the conventional wisdom that if you put out a giant herbivorous animal, it'll mash your environment down to nothing, what they're saying has happened is a lost world has come back, because they're behaving the way that extinct sort of giant animals from the, I don't know, the Jurassic period used to behave, and bringing back with them that ecosystem of flora and fauna.
Wow, now that is an interesting point, something good to learn today. Just one thing about, hippos are huge, aren't they, like tons?
Oh, very huge.
And so, but like when you said attack and kill, do they, like, would they run after you and attack you and slump, as you said, after you? Yeah.
Hippos are surprisingly fast short distance runners.
But did they not try to avoid you, no? No, I don't
know.
No,
hippos are extremely aggressive. In fact,
okay,
hippos are the single most murderous animal in sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow, it sounds like I got that wrong.
Yeah, they lead to more human deaths than any other animal. They are as aggressive as the honey badger. Which apparently,
what about the pine marten in the stoat from previous weeks?
You have to be careful with the pine marten. The honey badger is pound for pound. It's the Roy Jones of animals. It is pound for pound. Wow. Regarded as the most aggressive animal there is. It's like a version of the Wolverine. You do not mess with a honey badger. The only thing you mess with less is a hippo. They have a huge tendency. And what they do is they hang out underwater completely. So you're in your little boat going, isn't this lovely? I might go and catch a perch. And the next thing you know, bam, hippo nails.
Fascinating. Okay.
Hippo, which is a little known thing, but it's very useful to know if you're going to see one in the zoo in relatively close proximity. When a hippo is annoyed, what it does is it poos with great venom and flaps its little tail at the same time, so that it sprays the poo in a 100-foot arc all the way around it. Kind of like a slurry spreader, but herbivorous.
This is so Anton. Go on.
That's it.
So,
I remember back in the day, many years ago, Dublin Zoo, you used to be able to get closer proximity to the hippos, and I watched them spray excrement on tourists. There's worse ways.
From a safe distance, is that it? Yeah.
Correct. Tell me that isn't a good name for a band, Herbivorous Slurry Spreader.
I thought you were going to say safe distance. Okay, go on. Keep going.
In other news. Yeah. Oh, I've got it. Can I do another animal excrement one?
It's Anton.
This was up there with "There's gas leaking out of Uranus" headline. A pig in the UK caused a fire by pooing a pedometer.
So it had to have eaten the pedometer first from somebody who had lost it running or something. Is that what I don't know what you're talking about. Keep going.
You're on the right track. And this is the bit that I think is interesting. It ate a lost pedometer that had been lost by another pig.
Wow.
So yeah.
It was passed from pig to pig.
Indeed. Why would a pig wear a pedometer, Dave?
Is this leading to a punchline? Or, like, I presume they were eating something and it just ate that too, no?
No. The pig was wearing the pedometer, then it fell off, and then another pig ate the pedometer. So why would a pig be wearing a pedometer?
I don't know. Why would a pig be wearing a pedometer, Anton?
Well, this is a fascinating thing about farming generally, Dave, that I am only coming to terms with. The level of technology involved is much greater than you would suspect. I would not have known this until recently when a man told me, and I suspect you may not know it either. Have you ever heard of the electric potato?
I have not.
Well, the electric potato I am fascinated by. When they harvest potatoes, or I think it's actually when they plant them, they plant an electric one full of probes that can communicate back to a computer. When they then dig up all of the potatoes and they process them, so they go into the truck and they go along the conveyor belt and they bounce down the thing and all the rest of it, the little electric potato has G sensors in it. And it will go, Jesus, if it has a drop sufficiently big that it would damage the other organic potatoes, and they can adjust the conveyor belts and all the rest of it so that the potatoes don't get stressed or damaged. So there's an electric potato. In the same way with pigs, I didn't know this until today, if they're free-range pigs, the way that the farmers can show that they're free-range pigs is they put pedometers on them so that you can go, this pig did 75,000 steps before we took it out and, you know, did what you do to pigs at the end of their useful life.
Right. You lost me at hello. Go on.
In this instance, one of the free-range pigs, which is wearing a pedometer, the pedometer fell off. The other pig, its neighbor pig, ate the pedometer. Its stomach acid then dissolved much of the battery casing. It pooed out the pedometer into a load of hay in a moist environment with an exposed set of electrodes. That ignited and burned down most of the farm. So a pig started a fire by pooing a pedometer. And see.
Okay, right. Okay, I get it. That goes right back to the first sentence. Now I understand everything. Move on.
A church has electrified its porch to scare off pigeons.
It's making a mess. I mean, the pigeons are making a mess, are they, at the porch?
Correct. It's a grade one listed church of St. Mary the Virgin in Bristol, and it has stonework from 1100.
One of my greatest rock and roll moments was in a church in Bristol. Seriously, I mean, it's. I know it's up there on YouTube, definitely. I remember seeing it about 10 years ago. I interviewed Van Morrison on the altar of a church in Bristol for a Channel 4 programme. Seriously. And the interview lasted about half an hour, 40 minutes. Van was fantastic, but I think there's about a minute or two or something up on the thing because it was taken from a programme that we did, yeah.
Why did you interview him in a church in Bristol?
Because we were doing this programme on Channel 4 and every week we used to pair people with each other, like somebody from the Bangles with Paul Simon kind of thing. We did that one in California, these kind of things. And one of them was that Van Morrison was paired with Mose Allison. And Mose Allison is an old kind of jazzy, bluesy kind of guy who Van absolutely reveres. So Van was on his best behaviour. So it's, yeah. What's the name of the church? Not that I remember.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise that was to me.
You think I was talking to Van? No, what was the name of the church?
St. Mary the Virgin Church.
I have no idea. I can't remember seeing any pigeons. So anyway, go on, let's go back to the pigeons dropping and all the rest of it and the fungus.
They have tried multiple forms of pest control and so far have been unsuccessful. So what they are doing is they have pleaded with the chancellor of the, I assume, local court to grant them permission to use electronic bird deterrent, which in any other person's language is they're going to electrocute the flying rats.
Ah, yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, give us one last story because we're running out of time.
In one which is just poetic irony, which I think you will enjoy immensely, Mexicans have been protesting in an attempt to shut down the US southern border to prevent Americans coming in.
And during the protest, they probably said, build that wall.
Exactly. This is not a joke. Residents in Sonora, which is just south of Arizona, it's in Mexico, they are trying to blockade the border crossing points to stop Americans coming in because Mexico thinks that the U.S. is making such a, and I'm not sure this is a direct quote, but I'll use it anyway, thundering balls of dealing with the whole COVID-19 thing that it puts them at risk. So in the ultimate poetic irony, Mexico, it looks like, may now pay for a wall, but it'll be to keep the Yanks out.
Wow. Did you ever see the movie Southwest of Sonora? Great.
I did not.
Marlon Brando. Yeah, it's very good. He goes to confession at one stage. He's a real kind of whatever. He says, Padre, I've done a lot of killing and I've done a lot of sinning in my time. But Padre, the men needed killing and the women needed sinning.
Well, that's my afternoon planned out.
Indeed. Listen, Anton, the usual, stay safe, stay in. Don't wash your hands, by the way. Scrub them. All right.
You got it, Dave.
All right. Good man, Anton. Take it easy. Good luck. Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.